I'm going to be reading our scripture passage that we're going to be focused on today, although I'm not the speaker. I'm going to introduce our speakers here in just a moment, but from James chapter 2. Again, we're taking a break from our 1 Corinthians series. If you came wanting to hear 1 Corinthians, come back next week. We'll get back into that. This is James chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, he's talking to believers here. That's us. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but you say to the poor man, "Here, you stand over here," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet you stumble at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is God's word. It's my privilege to invite to you two dear friends that I've gotten to know since 2018, when DK, our director of student ministry, and I went down to Baja, Mexico, and met Baja Christian Ministries and fell in love with them. And since that time, I think I've been 8 or 9 times with different teams or just in a smaller group to build houses, to do outreach in the Northern Baja Ministry. And I'm pleased to introduce you to the couple that is the group that is over this wonderful ministry, who are now part of our mission partnerships. If you go on the missions board out there in the lobby that's brand new, you can touch and you can look there at Baja Christian Ministries and you can see where they are and the kind of work that they do. But I'm going to ask my friend Eric first to come on up here. Can we welcome Eric and Becca Prager? I'm going to ask Eric to come up here. Becca will come up later. And I'm going to just pray for Eric here. Eric is the executive director of Baja Christian Ministries. And more than that, he's my brother. In Christ. He calls me his hermano, so he is my hermano as well. But I love these folks. I love their family. I love their heart for the Lord. Baja Christian builds houses and does work in the community, but I just love that they love Jesus, and all the things we just sang about are where their heart is, and they're going to share today not only about Baja Christian, but about God's heart for people right in front of us. Opportunities that we have to show compassion every single day. So would you join me in praying for Eric? God, I want to thank you for Eric, for Rebecca. I pray that you would fill their minds with peace and that you would fill them with their Holy Spirit to bring forth the word, Lord, that we so desperately need to hear today. I pray that we would not look at needs in front of us that we can do something about and say that's someone else's job. I pray, God, that we would hear your Spirit drawing us and speaking to us. May the name of Jesus be praised. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see your faces. It was great to walk around here and see some faces of those of you who have been to Mexico before. Just want to honor this house and Steve and Shannon. Yeah, like you mentioned, 2018, we first partnered together, started building some houses together, and just been really amazed by your church coming down, not only being a blessing in building the houses, but just sharing the message of the gospel everywhere they went, prepared to share their stories. And a lot of that attested to Steve's leadership, as he really leads out of all the group leaders I get to see down there, leading and encouraging youth and different people to step up in the communities And so you just have a real amazing leader here. I just want to say that, Steve. And I've seen it down there in Mexico firsthand. And there's not many leaders I get to see that get to lead with that kind of compassion and understanding. So this message, I know, is right there on his heart, as long as it's in my heart as well. And I'm excited to share and represent my family here. My wife Rebecca's here this morning, and I think there might be a slide of my kids up there. They're down in Mexico right now. There's my family on the beach in Mexico. I got Lydia, who's completely fluent in Spanish, lived there her whole life. Elijah, he travels around Mexico playing baseball. He really loves baseball and gets to integrate and speak Spanish, goes to a Christian school down there. My son Micah, he loves playing the piano. He's just all day long playing the piano. And we got Rebecca there, and she's going to share actually a little bit later the story of BCM. Her dad founded it, and she founded an amazing program in the last couple of years that she's going to get to share. And then we got my son Caleb back there, who actually most recently started coming out and translating for some of our teams out there using his Spanish, and he's very outgoing and loves to do the things that we get to do in Mexico. So that's just my family that I'm representing here, and just wanted to introduce you to them, and you'll get to see Becca here in a sec. But also want to introduce our BCM team. I think there's a photo there. That's our team that's grown quite a bit over the years, a lot of it due to Rebecca and her team that she's brought into. But I want you guys to pray right now, actually right now as we speak. We're doing an outreach down in Mexico. Those of you who've been there, we're along Boulevard 2000 finishing a house and also gathering some of the people. We got 20 food kits going out there. So our team is out there actively right now. Jorge, who some of you have met, who's helped lead our houses, is helping lead that outreach. So as we speak, our team is out there doing this. And the amazing thing for me is Rebecca and I are here, and that ministry is going on. Our kids are participating in the things they get to do. So we're really blessed to be here with you guys today and represent this entire team that's doing amazing things, working alongside teams that are coming from yourself to Mexico. Just to give you a little context, obviously we build houses. We have also a ministry where we give away Bibles and purple books. And also, Becca, we have another ministry where we minister to children. And as I get into this passage, my main focus here today is that drawing attention that we all in some ways are called to compassion. Obviously, I'm standing up here representing the organization and to those who do missions full-time. But I really want to make it a point, and even as we read into the scriptures, that this is for each and every one of us here. And that's kind of my main thrust that I'm going to go off of. This passage that we're looking at here in James, it could be a difficult one as we look at it. There's some difficult things that are going on. And I'm not going to go into every single little detail of what was going on necessarily in this church, but there's some issues, obviously, that we see going on, of favoritism, things that are happening between the rich and the poor that aren't good, and James is addressing them. And we see partiality, he's coming against that we need to consider that. The different things that we see happening that are important for us to understand within the context of this. One thing I want to point out within those first four verses, a lot of times it's our human nature. That's what we see happening there. It's the tendency that we see to prioritize our own self-interests. And the thing I want to point out is compassion is a lot of a way that we combat that. We combat the self-interest. Yes, we have our own things that we need to take care of. But a lot of times we can so focus on our own self-interests that it doesn't allow God to do the work that he's calling in us to give compassion to others. So what's important about understanding this dynamic that we have is I believe that in some ways we are all called to engage the poor. And I believe the reason why we see in James 2:5, it says, I'm going to read this part. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? Now, we need to put on, what is God's perspective? Right here, we're seeing it in this passage. This is one of God's perspective over that. And why I really believe there needs to be the engagement between rich and the poor. Because it's saying right here, the poor of this world is called to be rich in faith. And I've seen this happen many, many times in Mexico. A lot of times people will go and have the engagement down with us in Mexico, and they will come back more blessed. And I really believe this concept, we've actually coined it, we call it mutual transformation. We really believe as we go on mission that God's not only going to do something as you're transforming the communities, the gospel is going to transform, but God's doing something within us as well. And there, we need to have that engagement to be able to see his perspective. I want to share a little bit of my journey on it as well, as God led me into Mexico. As I first went into Baja Christian Ministries in 2012, one of my main motivations, might be an unusual calling, but this is how God calls it. I really had a calling to share the gospel on the streets. And one of the ways I was really motivated and brought to Mexico was that, the gospel. These people need the gospel in Mexico. Obviously, we're building houses, and that was such an amazing open door for it. But the first time in 2012, when I stood up to share the gospel, this verse came to me. And I want to share it because I think it's important to understand Jesus' exact words. Jesus went through, it's in Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It was amazing. I went up there I had the agenda of sharing the gospel, which is a good thing to want to do. But in that time of seeing all that multitude of people, God spoke back to me and said, do you see these people? These people that you're sharing with, you need to have compassion upon them because I likened them to sheep without a shepherd. And even more powerfully, later on, when you've heard all in the news of all the caravans coming into Mexico, coming through all that stuff. I'm not going to get into all the politics, everything about that, but it's happening. I'm hearing this in the news going on. There's actual caravans that are parked close by to the border. So I thought, I'm going to go there and just hear what's going on, because I'm hearing all these things in the news from various perspectives. And I went there, and I got a chance to talk to some of the people. And one of the things I really came back with God spoke to me the same exact verse, was you see this multitude of people, and they were literally following different people. You'd be surprised who they were following at that time. There was an American slash a Mexican lady that they were all following, and I really saw them. They were just looking for hope. They were looking for something. They were following people. And I likened him to the same way Jesus saw these people. And I really feel like it's the perspective that we have to have. It was like sheep without a shepherd. These people need the gospel. These people need to be shepherded. These people need to understand what it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which all of us here have. And we have that privilege to be able to walk in. So God really spoke to me, interestingly, during those times. I wasn't expecting that, because I had different agendas of when I went to go do those things. And it's my encouragement to you, when you go do those things of compassion, how is God going to speak to you during those times? What is he doing to change you? It really brings up to my main point in this section is compassion ministry is an area that God transforms our lives. It's if we allow it to be used through the gospel, it can transform our lives. Like it's done it to me, as I've done it over and over again. And my encouragement to you is participate in it, because I really believe it's going to transform your life as well. Something that we need to engage in as we live our lives and continue to do that type of ministry. One other thing I want to point out in the scripture passage as well, as it moves along, it talks about the problem. James gives the perspective of what God has. And that also really brings up an amazing scripture that a lot of us would have known, which is James 2:8. It says, if you really keep the royal law found in scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. This is another point I think that's very, very important, because even as I've gone out, and I've had to learn this in my time of being younger and being brash and let's go change the world, let's go change people's lives with compassion, is what is our motive that we have behind it? And I really believe it's seen right here. It's love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the motivating factor. And our compassion that we go and serve with needs to be rooted in this type of love. And I would say none of us are at that perfect place, but unless we go out and do it, allows us God to really come and speak to us. And I've seen that happen in my own heart and in my own life as God has spoke to me during the times where I've gone out and really checking my motives of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and allowing this to come out, which is love that we see. One other thing I'd like to say about it too, I really believe that compassion, this type of ministry, and I was talking to Steve and Shannon last night, and I really was thinking about it in the terms of exercise and training a muscle. I even know this being the executive director of Baja Christian Ministries, when I don't go out to the field as much and see the people and see them, the people receiving houses and keys, we kind of like lose touch of it. It's almost like a muscle that we need to continue to keep exercising compassion. It's something that we need to continue working with. It won't just happen as we intellectually have an understanding about it. We need to also go and practice it. And I love the scripture in Romans 12, 2, where it confirms it. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it's something that we need to continue to exercise. So whatever context you have, whatever steps you're at here, coming to Mexico, I heard of all the other amazing areas. I'm sure there's areas where maybe God's calling a step, or maybe even something outside of that. So I've had to continue to exercise this muscle of love, and it always hasn't been easy. Called to go do this ministry in 2012, I lead a bi-national ministry, a bi-cultural ministry. And I've had to learn and grow in understanding how people think differently when you go out there. And God has challenged me in that. Because the more I've learned over the years, the more I've tried to become more like a child, in a sense, that I don't know as much. I don't know as much about this culture, and I don't have the understanding, and I really need to allow God to transform me from the inside, like we mentioned, and I got to continue to do that. It's my encouragement to you to do that. That's been my journey. Even as you're confronted with different situations and people and not allowing offenses to come, we've just really had to grow and learn that type of love, that deep love for the people of Mexico that I've been challenged to in different ways. And it's been challenging, but it's been exciting. And it's my call to you, accept that type of challenge as well. Accept that type of challenge. My second point that I want to bring up, and this is really something that really God, I believe, is instilled and embedded into with Baja Christian Ministries. And we see it is the gospel message is amplified through compassion. We see that love. As we kind of go through it, that love that we see through compassion, the message that we're sharing, if we're trying to share compassion with people, a lot of our motivation comes from that love of Jesus. And we got to understand that is so amplified when we do the works of service. It opens the door. And we've seen this so much in Mexico. We give away houses for families, and we've seen how it can impact the communities and really open the door for the gospel. And one of the first times, and I'm not going to necessarily read from it, but just kind of share a little bit of the story of it, is in Acts 6. If you guys know the ministry of Stephen, where a lot of deacons, that ministry comes from, we see that there was a time where there was a complaint that arose that some of the widows were not receiving food distribution. And it was not from any sort of intentions from the apostles, but it was brought to them. And so they decided, let's do something about this, and let's bring this type of ministry, and we're going to delegate these 7 men who are going to continue on doing this ministry so they could focus on prayer and the word, as it said in the scriptures. an amazing response to it. I think as a church, we need to have more of that type of response when we see things. There's needs around us. What are we going to do? Are we just going to lose the focus here? No, sometimes we need to delegate. And that's where I really see partnership is so important. And I love the fact that your church is partnering with other organizations locally. And we're so honored that we get to partner with you guys in what we're doing down there in this type of ministry. Because I've seen a lot of times within ministry and church where us as people, it's the same way. We have the tendency, as I mentioned, self-interest. We always have the tendency to get out of balance sometimes too. Where one thing is the focus, or just compassion is the focus, and just giving things to people or blessing them. But then what about the word that's in there? And I really believe that God raised up Baja Christian Ministries as an example of a ministry that we try to really do both. We try to come alongside both of those things because we see the value in both of those. And we've seen how it's really allowed the gospel to flourish in some of these different areas that we minister. I was actually, just after COVID, with a lot of different ministries, he had a little bit of time just to really reassess your ministry. And I was meeting with somebody and kind of putting our vision down again. And what is our vision? What are we doing? What is Baja Christian Ministries about? And during this time, it was very interesting. Are you just about building the houses, or are you about the gospel? What are you about? And I could not, after going through and talking this over with some board members, it was like, guys, I really believe our unique calling is we try to do both of these things at the same time. We really try to use what we're doing to give people houses and to share the gospel, and really not like separate any of those things. And it was kind of really saw it as one of our unique calls. And I've even tried to encourage other ministries that build houses down in Mexico, hey, you've got a great opportunity that you have to be able to share the gospel because of what you're doing. So it was an evaluation, a self-evaluation I did of Baja Christian Ministries, and I saw that. And it's something, as we continue to move forward, we want to encourage the church. And as we're here, we want to encourage you as we're looking at some ways, what can we apply from some of these things? What can we apply from the scriptures? Well, like I mentioned, I believe everyone, like we mentioned, called to compassion, everyone needs to in some ways embrace compassion ministry as a way of your sanctification, your transformation, whatever word. I believe it's a process that God wants to use in you in whatever capacity. And I think it might be individual based upon your relationship with God or where you're at. Sometimes it's a step that you need to take. As you see these steps up here to get to where maybe God wants in growing in you, it's taking a first step, taking a first action point. And it might be something small. So it's my encouragement, exercise that muscle. I also believe, too, we can apply from this, is we need to prioritize compassionate living with gospel advancement as our focus. It's something that sometimes we need to reshift in our lives of how we're living. Because sometimes, like I mentioned, we get things out of balance, so we have to reconsider things. You know, a lot of us are in different seasons of time. You'll hear Rebecca and her story. We'll share. We got 4 kids, you know, and how that all works out. I know a lot of you with families. How does that all work out? I think it could be unique to your situation. But the biggest thing is, are we asking the questions? Because when you ask at the end of the day, whose job is it? I believe it's the job of the church to answer a lot of the calls. Let's not let government systems or anything have to jump in there. I believe the church is called to do a lot of these different things that we see. Because a lot of us see around it, we want to see change. And we want to see things happen. But my biggest encouragement of all of it, when we see those things, let's be the change as the church. Let's not wait necessarily for other people to organize something. Maybe God's calling something for you to do and taking those steps. So I think it's something really amazing to be able to reflect on this day as we consider compassion and consider how we're each called to it. As I transition here, I want to bring up my wife, Rebecca, and she's going to actually share the story of how she was called. She saw something that needed to be changed, And then deciding, instead of deciding, hey, maybe somebody else will do it, hey, I got four kids, she decided to activate and do something really amazing. She's also going to share a little bit about her dad, who started Baha Christian Ministries, just kind of as an example of another story and an encouragement to you guys on what God can do when we call answer that call to action. So I want to invite up my beautiful wife, Rebecca Prager.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having us today. It's a privilege to be here and see some familiar faces. We're really thankful for the partnership that we have with you guys and to be in this lovely San Jose area. Wow, it's so pretty up here. But what Eric was talking about, the call of God on our lives for compassion, this call and mandate to remember the poor worked itself out in a powerful way in my dad's life. When he was in his 20s, this was the Jesus movement time. He had a radical conversion to God and to personal relationship with him. And he was actually working as a janitor at Azusa Pacific University. And he heard a chapel sermon on serving the poor that kind of just got him and transformed his life and perspective about what he wanted to do with his life. And he started bringing groups of college-age students down to, he's like, well, okay, we need to serve the poor. Well, where are the poor? So, and this was in Azusa, so it was less than a tank of gas away from the Mexico border, and so he started bringing down college students to just serve at beginning at orphanages down in the Tijuana area. And so this was happening when I was a baby, so I've grown up in this ministry. I didn't anticipate that I would be working in it as well, but God always works in mysterious ways, right? And so what started as my dad's calling has also become my calling and that of my husband, Eric. After many years of work in the ministry, a few truths stand out to me just based on my, you know, observing my dad and what he's learned. And one is that God often chooses those that appear unqualified, or maybe not the first picks, right? Like, we think of David, if you remember the story of David and him being anointed as king, Samuel came and he had all these older brothers that his father thought maybe would be the more qualified pick, so he didn't even bother calling in David from the fields. He was just out there doing his shepherding duties. But then Samuel's like, do you have any others? And he said these words that are very powerful, that man looks at the outward appearance, the outward qualifications, but God looks at the heart. And a heart that is open and willing to say yes to him. So that is what my dad's life was about. He wasn't necessarily what you would consider have all the qualifications to lead a ministry to Mexico. For one, he never really spoke Spanish. He tried really hard to, but just something in his brain. But God provided people to come alongside him and to, you know, to translate. And he didn't have much construction knowledge. We are a ministry. Part of a big thing we do is we build houses for the poor, and he didn't know much about that. So, but God provided people to come alongside him that had that knowledge. And, you know, he didn't have a ministry, master's in ministry leadership or anything, but as where he was weak, you know, God was strong, and he would provide what was needed and what was lacking. So that is one lesson I learned from observing my dad in ministry, that God doesn't call you because you are qualified or equipped necessarily, but he will equip those that he calls. So another lesson I learned from my dad is the importance of stopping and caring for the one, the individual. If you maybe have been in Mexico, how many of you have been to Mexico on one of the trips? Pastor Steve? Awesome. Well, you may understand when I say that it is easy to feel maybe overwhelmed in the face of the ocean of need around you. You may experience the joy of being able to pass or hand over a key to a very grateful family, to their new house, their new home, and then maybe the next minute you're looking all around, you're like, well, there's still hundreds of others that could use a house. And maybe you may feel in the grand scheme of things that our loving service is like a drop in the bucket. My dad wrestled with this reality, and there was a story, an anecdote he would share to kind of encourage others who may feel that way too. And it was, maybe you've heard of it, it's the story of the young man walking down the beach with starfish, and he would tell this to, it's kind of like his story, and everyone's like, who's been a lot of times, yeah, okay, yeah, here's the starfish story. But he would... it's about a young man, and there's just hundreds of thousands of, or tens of thousands of starfish littered on the beach and that were like slowly dying. And he just walked down, and one at a time, he would bend down and pick one up and throw it into the water. And as the story goes, there's an older man, a more cynical man, who kind of looks at this effort and mocks it a bit and like, do you really see how many starfish are here? Like, what you're doing is a waste of time. Like, what difference is it making? And the young man picks up the starfish and smiles and throws it into the ocean. And he says it made a difference to that one. So the idea is that, yeah, that the one matters. And I believe the importance of caring for the one is demonstrated by Jesus' life and ministry. Though he was God incarnate, and yes, he worked in big capacity, gave epic sermons to thousands and fed thousands in one place. Often what is recorded in the Gospels are his interactions with individuals. And like this conversation with Nicodemus, the woman who bled for 12 years, and he singled her out in a big crowd when she touched him. The story of the Samaritan woman by the well, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, his individual interactions with them, the Roman centurion. There's the list goes on of individuals who encountered the Savior's love and compassion, and being focused on them individually, and their lives were forever transformed. So this model of caring for the one is what also inspired me 5 years ago to start our children's program in Baja Christian Ministries. And it's for the most vulnerable and marginalized children in the Tijuana area. Like my dad, I received this call, and I said yes, even though I didn't know exactly what I was doing or how to do it, which I still feel that way sometimes. But God continues to amaze me with his continued grace and provision. What started as a free daycare for young preschool-age children, for working moms who had to leave and maybe little ones were in unsafe environments. What started as that, during COVID, morphed into an education center for kids up to about high school age, and with a focus on education and teaching them. And so currently we have three campuses of around 100 kids, and it's a full-time like school-like setting where we are utilizing local churches that sit empty during the week, and maybe have a couple classrooms there, and we invite kids from the community that are not going to school, that are not unschooled, not in school. And the reasons for that may be, there's many. There's actually a lot of kids, sadly, in this situation, Tijuana, which is burgeoning population, millions of people there. And it's grown really fast, and a lot of these, there's not enough schools, there's waiting lists, and maybe they're migrants but don't have proper documentation. So this is actually a need that we saw living down there, and my hope and prayer is that we can continue to multiply this service, because it really, like, it could, even though maybe there's like 100 kids that we are currently serving, there's definitely many, many more who could use this service. So we hire local Mexicans, have a local Mexican staff that teaches them, we feed them, and most importantly, we point them to the truth and feed them spiritual truth of who God is, who they are, their identity, that we hope and pray will make a lasting lasting transformation in their lives, and help break the cycle of poverty that has perhaps for generations held them in bondage. So these are children with real faces and difficult home environments, definitely many of them, and sometimes it can feel overwhelming when you just dig in and hear their stories, and you know, and then there's challenges of doing ministry, there's spiritual warfare that comes against you, and sometimes you feel like, oh, is it really, are we really making a difference, is this worth all this hassle, and so we all get that place, you know, we can all get into those seasons when we're doing something that God's calling us to do. We can, the enemy wants to discourage us, the enemy wants to have us quit and give up. And so just recalling, you know, just like my dad, just that starfish story, that truth of like serving and loving the one, and even if it was just one, then it was worth it, and remembering just Jesus and what he modeled for us in his years of ministry on this earth, you know, about taking time for the one, and that one matters. These are all things that I encourage myself with to keep going and to remember to not grow weary of doing good, for you will reap a harvest if you will not give up. Galatians 6:7 is one of my favorite verses to remember. And so, but in this, so this harvest is also a part of your guys's, as you've come along, partnered with us. We're so grateful. And I encourage you, like Eric was saying earlier, just to also not to be afraid to step out and to take that step. It truly is a muscle that you grow to walk out your calling and what God's calling you to do, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe that you will see fruit if you do not give up. And also remember, you know, if my dad's story can encourage you, it doesn't take, you know, someone with all equipped and ready to actually just start. And sometimes just taking that first step of faith, even though you don't really know how it's going to look or what's going to happen, but just trusting that God's going to equip you as you walk with him by faith, step by step. So that's really what I had. And I look forward to, Eric and I look forward to meeting some of you at the luncheon after church today, and to meet some of you all in person. But thank you so much for your time and attention this morning.
So I'm going to close with this. I just wasn't sure exactly, again, the right way to kind of close this time together, but I have good news and I have a challenge, okay? And I'll be brief with this. Good news. We are called to compassion because of our Savior. As Becca was just talking about, we have been the recipients of more compassion from God than we could ever possibly give to somebody else. Do you believe that? The kindnesses of God. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet in sin, Jesus came and he died for us. That's just unthinkable. And so as we think about compassion, here, yes, I can do this and I can check that box to say, I was compassionate today. It so pales in comparison to our Savior. So the good news is that we have a God who loves us, and our God is not partial. Our God does not show favoritism. Do you realize what good news that is? That the reason why we are not to show partiality or favoritism is because God doesn't show favoritism or partiality. Anybody who wants a relationship with him has access to that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. You can receive his love. He invites us to know him. And if God was partial or showed favoritism, that would be bad news for us. Because, well, if you're not the favorite or if you're not the preferred one, you're kind of out of luck. That's not how God is. Praise God. Romans 2, I believe it's verse 11, tells us God is never partial. He's not partial. The challenge is this, is that each of us has a next step. I don't know what your next step is. I don't know collectively what our next step is, but you have a next step, and I think you know what it is, because I think God has been putting it on your heart. And so often whenever we are faced with whatever that next step is, it is easy for us, if it costs us something, to just say, that's someone else's job, or that's not the area to which God has called me. God, I'll follow you anywhere. And then God says, what about there? And you're like, well, I didn't really mean there. God, I'll do anything. I'll surrender all. Okay, well, what about that? Well, I didn't really mean that. You know what I mean? Yes, there's a cost involved, but whatever that next step is, you take it, and you'll be blessed. But we do it not in order to necessarily receive a blessing, but because of God's love for us. I was telling Eric and Rebecca about this writer that both Alba Collegian and I love, Michelle Anthony, who's written about spiritual parenting, and one of the things that we can instill in the next generation is this concept of walking into any environment and in any room and asking the question, what needs to be done here? What if we all did that? Right now, what needs to be done? Well, I see something there on the ground, or I see this person over here in need. Well, that's someone else's job. No, what needs to be done? Who is my neighbor? The Good Samaritan. Jesus told this story to say, it's the one that's right in front of you. And we have people right in front of us. So that's the challenge. But there's also good news that is wrapped up in it.